Thank you very much.
Hey. Could you close the door, please?
But that's okay.
Thanks. Almost close the door.
Turn a little bit this way.
Turn a little bit that way.
Yeah.
Behave yourself.
I didn't put this chair in this position. Somebody else did. Wah.
Okay, that's better.
So someone read me the actual title of this class?
Oh.
Quaker Healing.
Yeah, that's it, Quaker Healing. Okay. You want me to tell you what it's about?
Yeah.
Quaker meetings are both creators and users of energy. How does a called meeting for healing work? I'm sorry, I can't read that sentence because I don't understand it.
A called meeting for healing is a special kind of meeting.
Okay, so how does it?
Yeah.
Well, how does it work?
Yeah.
What can you and your family or group learn from techniques Quakers have been using successfully for centuries? There will be a brief explanation and discussion followed by practice.
Precisely.
Sounds great to me.
Sorry.
Well, in order to understand what's going on, you have to have a brief history of the Quakers. I will keep it brief. In the mid-1600s, England was like a pot boiling over with religious crazies. They had a virtually endless selection of people who had decided one verse in the Bible was the only verse that mattered, and they were going to pattern an entire culture on it. Kind of like the Appalachian snake handlers, who it says you can handle poisonous snakes safely, so they do that. But there was this young man named George Fox, who was taking care of sheep for the tanner he was theoretically apprenticed to. He was supposed to be learning tanning, and instead he's following sheep around. But it gave him a lot of time to think. And this man was profoundly religious. He'd memorized the entire Bible by the time he was 10. And he was looking for a church, a pastor, that he could give his heart to. And he went and talked to what he called the professors, people who profess to have the way, the truth, whatever. And finding one after another was really just mouthing off and trying to get his own way, which wasn't what he thought was good practice. And this had him really, really, really disturbed, upset, stressed out. He describes it as a lowness. And he was on Pendle Hill with his sheep one day, and all of a sudden he heard a voice say, "There is one, even Jesus Christ, who can speak to thy condition." And out of that, the entire Quaker tree of churches came. Because he suddenly realized that you didn't need a preacher between you and God.
Ah, that's what that meant. Okay.
Yeah. That you could just speak directly to Christ and get a response directly from Christ. And the fact that you had been to some kind of fancy school didn't mean you had anything to say if it wasn't coming from God. And the fact you couldn't read or write didn't mean you didn't have anything to say, because it was still coming from God.
I bet the priest didn't like that.
Not even a little bit. There was one group already in existence that I forget their exact name, but they were called the Seekers After Truth. And they were just coming together and sitting in meeting places and saying nothing whatsoever. Just sitting together to pray, but with no talking, just in the silence. And George Fox, in addition to occasionally standing up in churches and denouncing the preachers, "Oh, yeah, you're talking big about sin. What's your mistress up to?" He was somewhat aggressive in challenging self-righteous hypocrites.
I love him.
But in addition to that, he also went into the meetings of the Seekers After Truth and spoke to them. And all over England, the members of the Seekers After Truth congregations went, "Oh!" And that's how the Quakers grew so far so fast. And God had already plowed the ground.
So the Seekers became the Quakers.
Many of them did. Not all, but many Seekers After Truth joined the Religious Society of the Friends of Truth, which is part of why it ended up with that name. Got shortened to Religious Society of Friends.
Would it be fair to say that the Quakers were the inheritors of the revolutionary movement in thinking, started by the levelers, the diggers, and even to an extent the ranters?
To some small extent, yes. The problem that they had with all of those was the tendency to violence inherent in most of those movements. But they did believe, and do believe, in absolute equality of all people under God.
So they're levelers in that sense.
In that sense only, yes. One of the reasons they got into a lot of trouble was that they would not take their hats off except in meeting, because doffing a hat to some people and not others is unequal. They also got in trouble because they would not use you. At that point, you was still an honorific title given only to a rank of nobility that has land and thus theoretically possesses other people. You say you because he represents not only himself but all the people under his control.
It's so funny because people think that he was the fancy speak, but it was you.
Familiar. Yeah. Thou, you say thou because it's only one person, and thou is singular, second. You know, there's a I, thou. Okay, it's
ye for plural.
Yeah, I you. No, it was.
That's okay.
Never mind. You know what I mean.
Yes.
Thee, thou, and thine were the original normal words for talking to only one person, and then the king started being called you because the king encompassed the country. And then it started bleeding down to lower ranks, and it got sillier and sillier and sillier. Mm-hmm. And George Fox would have none of it. He called everybody thee or thou. And a lot of people would get, how dare you thou me? And his response was, I dare very nicely, thank you. Which caused him to end up imprisoned quite a few times. And it eventually broke his health completely. Other early Quakers took up that charge and traveled, among other things, to the U.S. Wasn't the U.S. then. Mary Dyer was a Quaker who was hanged in Boston for preaching against the Puritan church.
They had no sense of humor.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't that she disapproved of their lifestyle. She just disapproved of their hierarchy.
Yes. Although she was, as all Quakers were, and most Quakers are, absolutely opposed to organized violence. Yes, if someone's hitting you on the head with a frying pan, you try to stop the guy. But you don't stop the guy by shooting him.
No.
You run away if you can, and so on.
Take away the frying pan and sit on it.
Yes. George Fox at one point was offered a chance to get out of prison if he would agree to lead a troop in the English Civil War, because he was very, very popular and the prison warden thought he would make a great troop leader. And he said, no, I'd rather sit here in prison. And they said, but you'd be fighting for the Lord. And he says, I'm fighting for the Lord sitting here in prison. Eventually, Quakerism split in the 1800s. It split into branches. In the newly settled western part of the U.S., there were no other preachers except the Quakers, because the Quakers didn't require any formal teaching or certification or anything to preach. They just gathered together, sat in silence, and if someone got a message from God, it was spoken. But if you're 15 families in a county-sized patch of land, and the only place there even might be any preaching on a Sunday is this Quaker family's house, you're going to start going there. Unfortunately, you've only got one Quaker in this county-sized patch of land. And eventually, when you have more people coming in, they want a preacher, they're probably going to decide either that that Quaker is now the preacher, or that some other Quaker elder who is well known for speaking to people's condition will be asked to come and we'll pay you to be our preacher. absolutely against the original principle, but it caught on out in those places where you might have Methodists and Anglicans and Episcopals and who knows what, all going to the Quakers because it's the only church in town. So that became Friends United meetings. They're still pacifists, but they no longer use silent worship. Some of the churches even have stained glass and organs, which just hurts my head. But they do maintain the peace testimony. I'm used to the silent meetings. You go in, you sit down, and you wait. Empty your mind of all distractions. If you did leave the iron on, there's nothing you can do about it now. You won't be home in time. Empty your mind of it. If you had an argument with someone, empty your mind of it. Later on, after you get up from meeting, go fix whatever they're arguing about. But the idea is...
meditation.
No, not exactly, because meditation is trying to turn towards nothingness. And meeting, you're trying to turn towards the light, the still, small voice of God within you.
That's what I thought meditation was.
Well,
that's good that I'm doing it that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, it is.
Meditation is opening yourself up to whatever wants to talk to you. But I guess the Quaker is only going to listen to one voice.
Well, we don't care what you name the voice. I mean, if you think you've got a message from your belly button, but it's a true message, then the fact that you think it's from your belly button has nothing to do with nothing.
I like that.
Example of just how amazingly this can work actually happened to me. I have a friend who calls it my little miracle. I was in the U.S. Army, and I had met the Quakers through my brother. I was grounded in San Francisco with a vicious ear infection. They wouldn't let me fly any further. So I went to stay with my brother at the Quaker meeting house in San Francisco, rather than knock around enlisted bachelor housing until the ear infection was over. And so I met the Quakers because he was the resident friend of a Quaker meeting in San Francisco. So when I went to, and it was just a revelation for me. I'd been raised Irish Roman Catholic, and I was very much in that thou shalt not groove because of that. And I walk into a Quaker meeting house in full army uniform, and they say, oh, would you like to come to meeting? And these are pacifists. And I went, wow. A church that doesn't judge you.
Can they serve in the military as chaplains, like, for instance?
Many Quakers have served in the military as noncombatants, usually as medics.
Okay.
There are some Quaker chaplains. Most of those are going to be from the Friends United meeting tradition.
Well, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that for a minute, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but so when I got to Japan, I looked up the Tokyo meeting and started going there just because I wanted to have church, unquote, on Sundays, but after seeing what the Quakers were up to, Roman Catholicism just wasn't working for me anymore. And one of the first few times I was there, I was still very new to Quaker practice, a man rose in Tokyo meeting and starts talking in Japanese, which I so do not speak. And he's obviously very upset. Now, I have Asperger's syndrome. I don't read social cues, and even I can tell there's something wrong with this guy. He is miserable. And I'm sitting there going, Lord, somebody, please, you know, he needs help. Give him the help he needs. And this is quite literal. I am not joking. Something grabbed the scruff of my neck and the back of my belt and said, up with you. And I was standing and speaking. And to this day, I have no idea what I said. I spoke. And then I sat down and went, I talked English, and everybody here is Japanese, and they have no clue whether or not I was reciting the New York telephone directory. That wasn't good. And then a few minutes later, all busy shrinking in my seat and turning bright red, a few minutes later, a man stood and started speaking in Japanese, and I went, oh, thank you, they're ignoring me. Great. After meeting, There's something about me and tiny old Quakers with arthritis. I don't know what it is. But after meeting, this little tiny old Quaker lady with arthritis dragged the man who had spoken after me over to me and said, he said, Oba-san wants to know why you didn't tell us you spoke Japanese. And I said, I don't speak Japanese. And he looked very, very puzzled and said, but you answered the previous speaker's needs so perfectly. All I did was translate what you said. It was your message was what he needed to hear. How did you do that? And I just looked him in the eye and said, God knows? So it really does work, which it's kind of like the whole point of changing times, changing worlds. If you already know it really does work, this is where you come. So the basic matrix of a French General Conference, the Silent Worship Friends meeting, is you all come in, you gather, you settle into the silence, and you wait for a leading. Now, all kinds of thoughts are going to skitter through your head. Those clouds look funny, my toe itches, whatever. Just acknowledge them and then put them down. Eventually, if it works, it doesn't always work. But the image that came to me to describe this to outsiders, if you have a bowl with a slightly flared rim, and around the rim of that bowl is little dots of water, not quite touching. Sometimes something taps the bowl, and all those drops of water flow down into the center together. And that's called centering. When that happens, you may receive a message that's for you alone, but it's an answer to a question that's been plaguing you. You may receive a message that's for you alone spoken through the voice of another person who was called to get up and speak about something that didn't bother them a bit, but God knew it bothered you. You may be given a message to speak, either intended for everybody there or perhaps to speak to one specific person's condition. Or you may just sit quietly the whole hour and go and smile. Now, we have some special meetings. There's a meeting for worship called for the conduct of business of the meeting. I know it's a clumsy phrase, but the point of it is, even when we are figuring out whether or not we've got enough to pay the light bill, we are still in worship. We are still waiting for God's leading. Leading.
That's okay.
And then there's a meeting, usually a committee, called to examine a couple's fitness to be married under the care of the meeting. Yes, the meeting will not agree to officiate at a marriage for a couple that the committee decides should not be getting married now. And then there's clearness committees. Okay, there are clearness committees which are called specifically to help someone reach clearness on a subject that's bothering them immensely.
And then still everybody just sits there.
Yeah.
Okay.
A clearness committee will be a smaller number of people. They will be chosen for their long demonstration of speaking to people, speaking from the light. We used to call them recorded ministers, and we'd put them in the meeting, business meeting records, and when they went to another meeting, oh yeah, I'm recorded at Peterborough Friends. We don't do that anymore, but we still know people that you can go, that one's good. I requested a clearness committee when I realized that my involvement in a living history group I belonged to, involved being around a lot of people hitting each other with stuff. And I asked for a clearness committee on whether or not I could, as a good Quaker, continue in that group. And they said, well, don't renew your Red Cross certification, because that way they cannot use your presence as the Red Cross certified person they need so they can hold the battle.
Okay.
And don't participate in or support the battles. And I said, okay, I can do that. the last major and the rarest of the general classes of meetings is called Meeting for Healing. And this is usually done when there is someone who is very ill, either a chronic long-term thing that is grinding that person and their entire family and friend network down, or an acute condition, a car crash, whatever, where the chances of survival are very, very slim. A called Meeting for Worship for Healing is not called casually. It's not something you say, oh, well, he's got a broken leg, let's call a meeting for worship for healing. No. It's like, we'll heal just fine. God can take care of that. You don't need to call his attention to it. It works exactly the same way as any other meeting. In the beginning, you settle into worship and seek, turn towards the light, silence your mind so that you can hear that still, small voice within you. The difference is, instead of then just waiting, you pray silently. No need for speech unless someone gets a message. But you try to gather together with everybody else there to raise a fountain of energy, of prayer, of the attention of the holy. And it is focused on whatever the healing need is. I have seen incredibly profound things result from this. One of the most profound was a family who had requested a called meeting for worship for healing for a grandfather or a great uncle or something who had just been diagnosed with terminal cancer. And they were desperate for him to be helped by any means possible. And we did call the meeting for worship for healing. And at the end of it, the family, well, they didn't, quote, get what they wanted. He was not healed. In fact, he died not too long afterwards. But the family was the ones who were healed. They stopped being desperate that he had to be healed and were able instead to help him choose, based on his own needs, not to go into radical chemotherapy, to instead take a hospice approach and use medication to stay pain-free so he could approach the end of his life clear-headed and able to interact with and settle his affairs and say goodbye to his family and friends appropriately. So it did accomplish healing, just not the healing they thought they were getting.
Sometimes the best guy?
Yes, exactly.
We've had that experience when our circle has done healing. We knew we weren't going to get the kid's leukemia gone.
Mm.
But we changed his quality of life.
Mm. Oh, sometimes a kid's leukemia does go, but you can't expect that.
Right.
That's it.
We didn't expect it.
Yeah.
We wanted to just make things better.
Yeah. In fact, one of the worst things you can do walking into a Quaker meeting is expect anything. Because your expectations will shape your experience and can result in your going from, oh, I hope there's a good message today, to it's 45 minutes into the meeting and nobody's spoken. I've got to say something. That's not the way it's supposed to work. So, do you have any questions about how this functions?
So, in a called meeting for healing,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, everybody walks in and you settle down and you go centered and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just raise energy.
Yeah, except we think of it as prayer. But
right.
It's still raising energy. I have known several pagan Quakers who said that being in meeting is exactly like being in circle when everybody is attuned and nobody's busy worrying about who's sleeping with who. Only quieter. Yeah, it can be very much like a really good pagan worship circle. And as I said, sometimes it isn't going to come together. You can have a person who's decided that they are going to speak about somebody getting elected today, and it disrupts everything, and we then have to recenter, because that was not a message. It was just an opinion stated in the wrong place.
Would that happen in a called meeting for healing?
Almost never, but there are people who just...
don't want to shut up, period.
Yeah. And when I was in San Francisco at my brother's meeting, we had a man who was a badly fried speed freak. And he used to get up and say absolutely off the wall, totally random stuff. And they developed the habit of having two strong young men friends on either side of him. And if he started to off the wall rant, they would quietly rise and lift him up by his elbows and take him to another room where he could rant just to them. On the other hand, one of the most profound messages, profound meetings for worship I have ever attended started with him, because he stood up and said, "I want to speak in praise of popcorn, because it's warm and it's crunchy, and you all gather around the bowl and then you have some." And he sat down. And the outpouring of messages about the value of the simplest, cheapest, plainest stuff to create and support community, it still echoes in me. And it's been 30 years. So
I can feel the echo in you.
So, does anybody have somebody that they think really needs all the healing we can send them? It need not necessarily
be healing, but
it need not necessarily be physical healing. There's many a meeting for worship called with attention to healing that is held because someone is, for example, falling into alcoholism or has attempted suicide and they don't know if the intervention's going to work. It's whatever kind of healing is needed. So let's try you.
Okay.
Although often the person we are trying to heal isn't there. They are sometimes, but sometimes they're in a hospital somewhere. Oh, or
that makes sense.
So the first thing to do is to get comfortable. And if comfortable means your head's doing that, that's okay. Your head can be tipping sideways, your mouth can be hanging open. We don't worry about that stuff. And by the way, comfortable means that you don't go dressed in, you know, got your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes on. Not for a Quaker meeting, you don't.
Oh. What do you wear? Just like
comfortable. Yeah, well, you wear whatever clothes are not disrespectful to the other people there, if you have any option. We have welcomed many a homeless person in a stinking, been on for 6 weeks outfit into meeting and cherished and cared for them. Sometimes offered them a bathrobe from the resident friend's closet and took their clothes out and washed them in the tub.
Before we do that, I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
You keep saying resident friends, so friends meet in a place where someone lives?
Sometimes. Not all meetings have resident friends. The ones that do are mostly city meetings, where some level of security is appropriate, where you don't want a building empty 6 days out of the week, although very few Quaker meeting houses are empty 6 days out of the week.
Five, because of Wednesday meeting.
Yes, and we often rent space to various peace groups and ecology groups.
Wash my mouth out with soda.
Midweek, yes. Oh, that's another thing. Originally, Quakers didn't use the terms Sunday and whatever, because those were the names of pagan gods. And the same with the months. So you ended up having people saying third day, first month. Or... and this meeting will conclude the second, third day, which would be Tuesday. I got to tell you a joke. Just remembered a joke. when the Quakers were very brand new and a lot of people still weren't used to them, a Quaker was asked to give testimony in a court case. And the opposing attorney was really trying to rip this guy down, make him discredit him completely. And he says, so when do you believe you saw this happen? And he said, it was ninth day, first month. And the guy goes, first month, don't you even know the names of the months? What on earth is first month? And the Quaker said, friend, it must be more than a common fool who doth not know which month in the world's terms comes first in the year. And opposing counsel turns to the judge and says, my lord, censure the witness, he is calling me a fool. And the judge says, no, he said, you must be more than a common fool. There's an entire book called Laughter in Quaker Gray. Contrary to popular opinion, we do laugh. Sometimes during meeting.
Okay.
So, get comfortable. Find a position where you're not likely to cramp up or suddenly find yourself falling over. And just check your body for anything that, you know, a foot that's sitting funny and will be trouble later.
An itchy nose that wants to sneeze.
Yes. And one by one, acknowledge them and lay them aside. They're there. You're not trying to pretend they're not. You're just not paying attention.
The idea is to hold still.
No, you don't have to hold still.
Oh.
But you should not move unnecessarily.
Okay.
If you're the kind of person who constantly taps your feet wherever you are, this would be a good day to wear the kind of sneakers that make it no sound when you tap your feet. The idea is to remove all distractions. And twitchy wiggling around is a distraction, if not for you, then for everybody else there. So the first thing is to center down. Once your body is at rest, at peace, acknowledge the whirling thoughts, the squirrel cage, the did I get a good mark on that exam, what'll I do if I didn't, the my husband is scratching his ear, my God, is his eczema back. Just acknowledge it. You're not ignoring it. You're putting it aside. You're just turning your attention away from it. You're not pretending it doesn't exist. Once you've done that, your brain, your mind starts to clear, starts to cool down, so to speak, so that what thoughts you do have come with more and greater clarity, even though you're not thinking about anything specific. Then comes the part where everything changes. Let yourself, your I am, and because I am, I'm the most important thing in the universe, part of yourself, lay that aside. Put it down. It's a burden you're carrying. In Quakerism, you lay it down. Then you open yourself to the meeting. And instead of being I and you and they, you are one united force, although force is not a good term to use for Quakers, but a united strength. And all of that turns toward God, by whatever name you may call God, and says, here I am, Lord. Do with me as thou shalt. And together, once you have reached that center, you pour out heart, soul, individuality, collectiveness into the need and hold it in the light so that God can see what it is you seek, brought specifically to his attention, but you don't put any direction on it. This is where it's different from your usual pagan circle for healing. You don't say, I want his heart to beat better so that he won't have to have a heart operation. You say, thy will be done. So mote it be. Because you don't know what is the best resolution for whatever it is that's wrong. And God does. Which means that by holding the problem in the light, you bring it to God's attention and then leave it to God's decision. And now the recording is about to get very boring. Some meditation techniques can help, especially if you have a lot of trouble with quieting your mind. But I have discovered over a long point of view, a long number of years as a friend, that mantras really don't work here. And one of the hardest things to lay down in a Quaker meeting is the feeling that someone must say something. When you have attended enough meetings, the day will come when you actually feel different, when the message you have been given is one you are intended to speak. And if you pay attention to that, you are less likely to miss a message that was meant to be spoken. Because it is possible to just squash a message that was intended for someone else. I've done it and got called on it. We sometimes have people in meeting who cannot sit still. That's just not their nature. And it is perfectly permissible to bring in something that won't make noise. Many women, it's crocheting, that they can do in meeting to help themselves stay still enough that they don't distract other people. In fact, many meetings have a collection of what are called centering toys, which are made out of cloth and other soundless materials to help children not wriggle.
This message keeps coming to me, but it doesn't make sense. That the little lake dips into the big lake, but the big lake's an ocean. But the waters don't mix. Now maybe it'll go away.
In years when the ocean is particularly salty, when a local area has had a lot of evaporation acting on the ocean waters, rivers that run to the sea, the fresh water is actually blocked by the salt concentration from blending with it. It's an imbalance. And it corrects itself, but not quickly. When it happens, you can be out at sea and dip in a bucket and pull up fresh water. A great civil rights leader told the story of a ship lost for weeks at sea, desperate, out of water, seeing another ship and signaling where, what heading to reach a port where they could take on fresh water. And the other ship signaled back, "Put down your bucket where you are." And they didn't believe them. They were out at sea. They thought they were being mocked. And they wrote back, "We are dying of thirst." And the other ship signaled, "Put down your bucket where you are." They were 3 miles off the coast of the mouth of the Amazon. The water was fresh.
fresh, settles slowly into the calm that has surrounded it. Healing will follow.
When I spoke of a fountain of energy from the gathered meeting, it's not the energy that does the work. The energy lifts the problem into the light and gives it to God. I believe it's time to stop. Most Quaker meetings end with everybody going around and introducing each other. And if they have something that they'd like other people to know about, they can tell you often where you're from. Sometimes, oh, this afternoon my daughter's having a play at school if you want to come. And there may or may not be what used to be called sustaining grace, and now we mostly say snacks. Any questions?
I feel better. The particular problem that was bothering me is gone.
When you do it right, it works right.
I have lots and lots of questions, but there's just too many.
Well, until they kick us out of here, that's what I'm here for.
It seems to me that you and I said the same thing in different words.
Mm-hmm.
I was curious. My thumb was, the base of my left thumb felt as if something was biting it.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, I had no urge to say anything.
Mm.
And I leave you to figure out what that has to do.
Yeah, I tend to feel, most of the time, I feel this tingling that starts in my fingers and goes more intense and moves up my hands, and eventually it reaches my mouth, and then I'm going to speak whether I know what I'm going to say or not.
I didn't know what was on.
I told you. you turned it on.
When?
During the perks. you said, no, I didn't do that.
Hello? Hi, Joe. I'm up in Massachusetts. Sorry.
So.
Thank you. This was actually.
Hi.
I never knew what went on in a Quaker meeting. And the quick history and all that was one of the most, one of the least things I knew.
Mm.
So now I know a whole lot more than I knew about this.
Mm.
Other things I had opinions and thought I knew about this, I knew nothing about. So I want to thank you for coming.
Oh, you're welcome.
And sharing with us.
Since the Quakers are one of the five or six prominent peace testimony churches in the Western world, there's the Quakers, the Shakers, who began with a few disaffected Quakers who followed a woman named Mother Ann Shipton, who believed herself to be Christ come back in a female body to bring incarnate godhood to womankind as well as mankind, because at the point when she founded the Shakers, people were actually saying that women don't have a soul no more than a goose does. George Fox didn't approve of that, and Mother Ann Shipton didn't approve of it and took it further. There's also the Amish, the Mennonites, the Church of the Brethren, the Hutterites, and a wide variety of little tiny sects.
I didn't know the Amish and Mennonites were related.
They're not closely related, except that both were founded out of the preachings of guys who came from Germany. One a man named Amon, and one a man named Menno.
Okay.
But they are both peace testimony churches, and they both carried the plainness testimony, which is...
Yeah.
Was a very powerful part of early Quakerism, further and carried it on into the present day.
The Moravians are one or another of those?
Yes, Moravians are another one.
I had seen a sign, Moravian Church, and I kept meaning to stop in and see what it was because I seemed like I had heard the name.
Mm.
But never knew what it was.
I think the Moravians, like the Shakers, do not have services that are free of music.
Yeah. The traditional friends, the silent meeting friends, although meetings are not necessarily silent at all, the silent meeting friends are the only peace testimony church I know of that has no identified ministry. One of George Fox's revelations is that if God gives you a message, it doesn't matter who tells you you don't have the qualifications, you will not be able to not speak. And if God does not give you a message, it doesn't matter how much education you've got or how much they're paying you or how fancy your rectory is. Shut up. You've got nothing that God needs said. The followers of the Poor Man of Lyons were one of the first of the Protestant sects. One of the reasons that the Catholic Church opposed them is that they would not pay for ministers. Their ministers had to work a job and earn money at it because they didn't want the ministers to say, oh, I've been paid, I better preach a long sermon so they know they're getting their money's worth.
Yeah.
And that was one of the many things that the Catholics had against them. And the reason, one of the reasons the Albigensian Crusade was carried out was to stop this heretical idea that priests ought to have a job.
Francis Trollope, the novelist's mother, came to this country and went out west where the Methodists and Presbyterians and other wandering ministers were going from settlement to settlement and from home to home because mm-hmm. they didn't have any revenue. Nobody paid them.
Mm-hmm.
No established churches. and she thought it was utterly foolish. Any sensible place has an established church so that the ministers can be paid. Just to cry at the chaos of the American situation. Imagine, they have to go and get their food in people's houses. Instead of having their own little records.
But the best of them, being in people's houses, would see things that needed prayer, needed God's work in the world, that they might not see sitting in their rectory up on the hill, or their parsonage, or whatever we're calling it in this particular branch.
Yeah, I can see that.
So the purpose of a resident friend, by the way, is he's not any equivalent of a parson or a rector or a priest.
He just keeps the house up.
Yeah, he's there to make sure that they throw out the garbage after sustaining grace and to lock the doors at night and all those good stuff.
That makes sense.
Why haven't we gone around to introduce each other?
Oh, sorry. Forgot. Yes, that's usual, the next step.
Go ahead and start.
Oh.
You, yeah. It's your leading.
Oh,
speak to it.
All right. I am Mockingbird, and I am from Hamden, Connecticut, which is just north of New Haven. And I believe that this is a very effective kind of service that I wish our noisy pagans sometimes do more of.
Remember that pagans are welcome in Quaker meetings. Everybody is welcome in a Quaker meeting unless you're so off the wall that they occasionally need to remove you to a smaller Quaker meeting.
Pagans are almost as noisy as Unitarian Universalists. It's very hard for Unitarian Universalists to sit still for more than 20 seconds.
ADD.
It's a institutional ADD.
Yeah.
Works for me.
An example of how God works in Quaker meetings is that I have Asperger's syndrome. And I cannot read social cues. You can sit there and frown and tap your feet for half an hour before I realize there's anything going on. If it isn't spoken in words, it goes right over my head. Classic example. I went to my son's school just after he had been diagnosed with Asperger's, and we had held the first individualized education plan meeting to tell the teachers what this meant and how to treat him and what wouldn't work. And I walk into his classroom, and he's standing on the radiator. Now, it turned out later that the teacher wanted to keep an eye on him, so she had him in the one desk where four drafts crossed. My son, who can play hide-and-seek perfectly effectively by turning sideways behind a telephone pole. Mm-hmm. So he kept going and standing on the radiator because, you know, cold.
It's cold, yeah.
And I walk up to the teacher and say, hi, I'm Alex's mother. I've brought whatever it was. And she looks up and goes, Alex! Snaps her fingers, points at him, and points to herself. And he tilts his head sideways and smiles. And she says, see, he never listens to a word I say.
You didn't say anything.
That's what I told her. You didn't say anything. You waved your hand around. Is there a fly in the room? And she said, don't be ridiculous. He knows exactly what I mean. And I said, did you read the IEP you spent 3 hours writing and then signed? And she just got this completely dead face and her eyes go flat. And she goes,
And your point is, woman?
Oh, the point.
Not yours, hers.
Oh, no, the point of my telling you that story is that in meeting, mm-hmm. I do connect with other people's emotions in a way that I never can the rest of the time.
That's great.
But you interrupted the flow. I was going to use the hand, but I couldn't. Now, he should probably have something to.
Yeah, once meeting is over, I'm not good at reading social cues again, so, oops. So,
Don't worry about it, I did too, and I don't have Asperger's.
David, I'm from Norwich, Connecticut, and this is a much different service than I have ever had. I was raised Lutheran. It's very structured, do this. this is a really nice way of doing the service.
Thank you. We like it.
I'm Kathleen, called by Astarte. I'm a recovering Catholic. I truly enjoyed this. were my mother still alive, she would have fidgeted like crazy. She might have even walked out. She doesn't handle, she's one of those.
Yes.
And drama and the she's one of those that Mockingbird was talking about. It's got to be movement and energy and speaking and her rituals. And it's fine. It was very pretty. And there were actually, not religious. What do I want to say? Religious. I mean, there was religion going on. There was worship going on. It's just that there was movement with her. And this, I enjoyed this tremendously. I don't know that I could just come and sit quietly for an hour, though, every time.
Well, there is usually at least one spoken message. Not every single time, but usually. And remember, you
but
may
I
not
want to speak it.
Ah, that is quite a problem, that laying down the ego.
I'm an overachiever.
Well, you can work on overachieving listening, because many times what is happening is not happening out loud. What is happening is you get a message for yourself.
I did feel a lot. Things went through my head and all that kind of stuff. It was very interesting. Thank you for presenting this.
Oh, we've got one person who hasn't introduced herself yet.
I'm Elizabeth, and I'm also from Hamden, Connecticut. Actually, my father and mother were both Quakers, except that when we moved to the States, the only, the compatible church we found was a Universalist church.
Mm-hmm.
That was before they joined with the Unitarians. So I grew up Universalist, but I guess for me, I was just wishing that my sister was still alive and that she had been able to go to a healing service for herself before she died of cancer. You know, it would have meant a lot to me and to her, I'm sure.
Oh, by the way, I'm the only person here not from Connecticut.
Well, no, I'm from New Hampshire. I'm Honor, and I'm the teacher, or
yes,
facilitator would be closer to correct. I'm today's elder. Temporarily, I'm working as a Quaker elder. One thing that I forgot to mention at the beginning and should have, one bit of Quaker parlance, while it is clumsy, is absolutely essential. It's always a meeting for worship. No matter what else you're going to be deciding or doing or thinking about, it's always a meeting for worship. There is a legendary case in the 1800s of a meeting for worship called for the purpose of deciding how to respond to an African-American woman who wanted to place her children in the Friends School in Philadelphia. This was at a point where it was illegal for black children to be taught with whites.
Ooh.
And even in Pennsylvania. And they sat in worship for hours, and the speakers were getting nowhere, but it gradually became obvious that there were four men who were in opposition, and the rest of the meeting had come to clearness, except for these four men. And finally, the elder signaled, it's time to rise, go eat, we're stalled, we need a break. And when they came back together, one of those four men rose and said, it has come to our attention that our opposition is not in accordance with the good order used among friends, and we stand aside.
Okay, I'm not sure exactly what he said.
It means they achieved consensus.
No, it's not consensus. That's the important difference.
What they said. I didn't understand what they said.
Okay.
He said, yes, okay, you can do it. Got that. But he didn't say, we agree.
No. What he said that they had come to realize that their opposition, that their opposition was based on things that did not come out of the still small voice in it, that were not of the light.
Okay.
that their lack of clarity was something wrong with them, not something wrong with the process and not something wrong with the question.
Okay.
That the meeting had reached clearness on the issue, and the stop in their mind was not from God, and so they stepped aside.
Okay.
It wasn't a question of whether or not they agreed. It was a question of, we agree that we are holding up something that is working and should not be held up.
I have to step out.
That make any sense?
Yes, it does.
But that phrase has come down through Quaker practice ever since. Not in accordance with the good order used among friends.
I like that.
But the Quaker meetings are not consensus. Quaker business meetings especially are not consensus. That is a very common mistake. Consensus means that enough people agree that you feel like an idiot disagreeing. This is not the same thing.
Okay. If they had said our opposition does indeed come from God, then what would have been?
The meeting would not have reached clearness, and they would not go forward. At that time.
In essence, it is the equivalent of a consensus meeting.
No. No, because the difference with consensus is that consensus is the united opinions and thoughts and plans and ideas of the people there, or at least the vast majority of the people there. Whereas with a meeting, it's the thoughts and ideas and plans and opinions of God.
Well, okay, that's the essential difference.
Yes, but it makes quite a bit of difference.
It makes difference to the process. The end product may look the same from the outside, but not from the inside.
Precisely. Yeah, I've been to meetings where they tried to reach a consensus, and they reached a consensus, but there's someone sitting in the corner going, I'm tired of talking, I give up. You can't do that in a proper meeting for worship for the purpose of conducting the business of the meeting, which is the longest version of the name. Okay, I turned this off somehow, but frankly, I have no idea how.
Or when.
There. It now says hold, and I will go deliver it to people. And the legendary traveling create your own soup kit is in operation downstairs.
All right.
Well,
we have quite a lot going on for a week.
The called meeting for worship for the purpose of healing seems to have worked. Fair warning, there will be a lot of silent spots on that thing because that's how Quaker worship works.
That's okay.
Do you have an explanation afterwards?
Before and
after. Thank you for your time, Ms.